Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the MedBullets Step 1 podcast. In today's episode, we cover the topic of other cyanotic congenital heart defects found under the cardiovascular section at medbullets.com. Let's begin with a clinical snapshot. A newborn girl is born to a 30-year-old mother without complications. On the second day of life, the infant is noted to be mildly cyanotic with an oxygen saturation of 92%. The next day, she is more lethargic than usual with poor feeding. On physical exam, she has increased tachypnea, sternal retractions, and nasal flaring. Cardiac exam reveals that she is tachycardic and has a single and loud second heart sound with a systolic ejection click. She also has a high-pitched diastolic murmur. A chest radiograph shows cardiomegaly and increased pulmonary vasculature. An echocardiogram confirms the diagnosis. This is a case of persistent truncus arteriosus. When it comes to cyanotic heart diseases, we can think of the five T's: truncus arteriosus, one vessel; transposition of the great vessels, in which two vessels are switched; tricuspid atresia, 3 = tri; tetralogy of Fallot, 4 = tetra; and total anomalous pulmonary venous return, TAPVR, equals 5 letters. We also have an Epstein anomaly, and these defects may require atrial septal defect, ventricular septal defect, or patent ductus arteriosus to survive. The clinical presentation will show early cyanosis resulting in blue babies soon after birth. Depending on the severity and type of the defect, cyanosis may not be apparent immediately after birth. Symptoms of congenital heart disease include tachypnea, feeding difficulties, failure to thrive, and cyanosis. Patients may also have heart failure. Imaging includes chest radiography, and findings will vary based on the lesion, and echocardiography, which is the gold standard for diagnosis. First, we will discuss truncus arteriosus. This is a single large vessel arising from the heart and supplying the body with mixed blood, oxygenated and deoxygenated blood, secondary to failure of the aortico-pulmonary septum to form. Clinical presentation will show a systolic ejection murmur with a thrill, a single S2 heart sound, a high-pitched diastolic murmur, and initially only minimal cyanosis. Chest radiographs will show cardiomegaly and increased pulmonary vasculature. Truncus arteriosus is associated with DeGeorge syndrome, and treatment is corrective surgery. Next, we will discuss tricuspid atresia. Tricuspid atresia is when there is no tricuspid valve. There is a hypoplastic right ventricle, and this requires patent foramen ovale, ASD, or VSD. Patients will present with severe cyanosis at birth, increased left ventricular impulse, and a holosystolic murmur. Chest radiography will show decreased pulmonary vasculature. Treatment is prostaglandin E1 and corrective surgery. Next, we will discuss total anomalous pulmonary venous return, also known as TAPVR. This occurs when the pulmonary veins drain into the right heart circulation. An ASD or PDA allows for right-to-left shunting to maintain cardiac output. Patients will present with pulmonary hypertension, and cyanosis depends on the severity of the obstruction. Chest radiography will show cardiomegaly, a cardiac shadow that has a snowman appearance, and increased pulmonary vasculature. Treatment is prostaglandin E1 and emergent corrective surgery in severe cases. Finally, we will discuss Epstein anomaly. This is characterized by a downwardly displaced tricuspid valve, resulting in an enlarged right atrium. Increased right atrial pressure shunts blood to the left heart via the foramen ovale or ASD, leading to cyanosis. There may also be tricuspid regurgitation. Patients may present with cyanosis in newborns or present later in life. There is a holosystolic murmur and right heart failure. Chest radiograph will show cardiomegaly and decreased pulmonary vasculature. Epstein anomaly is associated with lithium exposure in utero, and treatment is with prostaglandin E1 and corrective surgery. Now that we've discussed the major points relating to other cyanotic congenital heart defects, let's walk through a question to apply what we've learned and get a sense of how the topic might be tested. For this question, consider the following clinical scenario. A 27-year-old G2P1 female gives birth to a baby girl at 33 weeks gestation. The child is somnolent with notably difficult breathing. Pulse pressure is widened. She is profusely cyanotic. Auscultation is notable for a loud single S2. An echocardiogram demonstrates an enlarged heart, and further studies show blood from the left ventricle entering the pulmonary circulation as well as the systemic circulation. Which of the following processes was most likely abnormal in this patient? Choice 1, closure of an aortico-pulmonary shunt. Choice 2, formation of an atrioventricular valve. Choice 3, formation of the interatrial septum. Choice 4, spiraling of the truncal and bulbar ridges. Choice 5, formation of the aortico-pulmonary septum. The correct answer is choice 5, Formation of the aorticopulmonary septum. The most likely diagnosis in this child is a persistent truncus arteriosus. Partial development of the aorticopulmonary septum will result in mixing of oxygenated and deoxygenated blood, leading to diffuse cyanosis. The imaging finding of blood from the left ventricle entering both the aortic and pulmonary circulation suggests that the aorticopulmonary septum, the wall that divides the aorticopulmonary trunk into the ascending aorta and pulmonary trunk, failed to form. This would allow for deoxygenated blood from the right ventricle to pass into the aortic outflow tracts, leading to cyanosis. This is consistent with a diagnosis of a persistent truncus arteriosus. The truncus arteriosus is an embryologic cardiac structure that gives rise to the ascending aorta and pulmonary trunk following formation of the aorticopulmonary septum. In this condition, a loud single S2 is heard due to increased flow through the single truncal valve. Let's also discuss why the other choices are incorrect. Choice 1. The ductus arteriosus is an aorticopulmonary shunt that exists in the embryonic heart to allow oxygenated blood from the right heart to bypass the immature pulmonary vasculature and directly enter the systemic circulation. Failure of this shunt to close will lead to a patent ductus arteriosus, which presents with a machine-like murmur, lower extremity cyanosis, bounding pulses, and mild dyspnea. Choice 2. Tricuspid atresia is a congenital heart defect that causes early cyanosis. Failure of the atrioventricular valve to form can lead to tricuspid atresia, which presents with immediate severe cyanosis. Tricuspid atresia requires the presence of a right-to-left shunt and a left-to-right shunt to overcome the blockage at the tricuspid valve. Choice 3. The interatrial septum forms from the septum primum and septum secundum between the left and right atria. Excessive resorption of the septum primum and/or septum secundum may lead to a patent foramen ovale. Choice 4. The truncal and bulbar ridges of the embryonic heart twist, spiral, and fuse to form the aorticopulmonary septum. If the ridges fail to spiral, transposition of the great vessels may occur. This condition results in two separate circulatory pathways, with the aorta arising from the right ventricle and the pulmonary artery arising from the left ventricle. Finally, a bullet summary. The truncus arteriosus results from the failure of the truncus arteriosus to septate, leading to a mixing of oxygenated and deoxygenated blood, causing cyanosis. That's all for this review about other cyanotic congenital heart defects. We hope that was helpful. This is the MedBullets Step 1 podcast, a daily audio review session from MedBullets, the free learning and collaboration community for medical student education. As a reminder, you can follow along with these podcast episodes by reviewing the topics directly on MedBullets.com. You can listen to these episodes on the MedBullets website or phone app while reading through the topic. If the MedBullets podcast has been valuable to you, we would be thrilled if you would consider leaving us a 5-star rating and writing us a review on Apple Podcasts. It will help us spread the word and increase our discoverability tremendously. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you all tomorrow right here on the MedBullets Step 1 podcast.